Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
I was reading in The Independent, thousands of babies apparently missing out on face-to-face developmental checks, all because of a lack of public health nurses in certain parts of the country. And I want to talk to people if you've been affected by this today. But naturally, it's creating a real worry that some children will potentially miss serious health problems that could just fall through the cracks if these appointments don't take place. Katie Moogan is a lactation consultant and breastfeeding specialist. Katie, first of all, just how important are these checks?
Hi, Andrea. So, these checks are really important. I would have previously worked as a public health nurse. I'm not in that role anymore, but these developmental checks, they really do identify or kind of any delays or concerns in a child's growth, including fine motor skills, language development, social interactions. And the reason why public health nurses carry them out at the kind of specific times is to ensure that, like, I suppose, any issues kind of are addressed promptly through referrals to early interventional services after that. So they really are important.
Yeah. So this isn't something necessarily that's picked up if you happen to be in with your GP. These are appointments that you get through the HSC or through the state anyway, is it?
Yes. So, like, you're generally seen by your public health nurse at birth for the birth notification visit. And then you can be seen a few times after that, depending if there's issues or if there's not, then you might not be seen until we have certain cohorts. So 3 months, 9 to 11 months, and then you've kind of 22 months onwards, and then you've one just before they finish up going back to school, kind of around the 4 year age group. And what they do is they look and make sure that they children are kind of hitting milestones in or around that age group, and that if there's anything that they could be flagged so that they can be referred on then to any other services that need to be. But I suppose parents mightn't necessarily pick them up, they mightn't even notice them, and that's where public health nurses are, I suppose, educated and experienced in this field, that they will pick them up.
And these are appointments that, doesn't matter who you are or how much you earn, Katie, every child gets them up to the age of 5, is that right? And they're free appointments?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Free of charge. It's an opt-in service, so it's not mandatory, but most parents would engage in the service. And I suppose it's really critical because from the very early stages, PHNs build a relationship with the parents and they develop a relationship for ongoing support throughout the kind of the 5 year age group. But I suppose the biggest key is that it's not that public health nurses are not doing these checks. It's just there's not enough public health nurses available in the country at this moment in time. And where we maybe had 5 PHNs in one specific area, you might only have 1 PHN now covering a 5 PHN caseload. Well, they aren't able to.
Yeah, it's West Dublin seems to be an area that has been cited, you know, where the baby is due to get a check at around 10 months. People are being advised to do their own screening with the help of a guidebook?
Yeah. It's not right in any way, shape or form. And we shouldn't be really putting this back on the parents to be assessing their children, because I think it's really unfair. But I suppose when you don't have public health nurses and you don't have staff there, then I don't know where else we turn to. I mean, GPs aren't specialised in this field either. I think it really needs to be, we really do need to focus on the lack of public health nurses, and that has been ongoing over the years, a problem that is now impacting the delivery of vital healthcare services across all communities in the country.
Katie Mack from the Opinions Matter podcast is with us here too. Katie, have your children, have you ever been able to avail of these public health nurse appointments?
Hey, Andrea.
How are you?
I think I've only ever had one, and actually I'm kind of laughing to myself here, just about the Taoiseach. He wants to buy Rory Gallagher's guitar, but he doesn't have enough nursing staff to cover the public health visits. Ironic. When you were doing your coming up later on the show, I was like, I kind of thought to myself, Jeannie Mack, it's, you know, it is such an important service and such an important resource for parents. It was okay for me because I worked with kids before, so I kind of knew what was in the realms of normal for developmentally at different ages. But if you're a new parent and you've no experience with kids, that's such a loss of something that it's so beneficial. I only ever had, my son was born 2019, Paddy's Day. I had the 9 month one and obviously the heel prick test when he was a couple of days old. But obviously then COVID hit, everything went into shutdown and I never got another one. And then my daughter was born in 2020, November 2020, which was lockdown. And again, she got the heel prick test and the initial couple of day old visit. but she's never had anything either. And it's not for the want of trying. I rang my local public health nurse, the centre where it is. I was told I'd get call back, and I never did, so I gave up. And it seems to be a lottery, because there's other parents in the area whose kids have gotten them. Now, a couple of times I was told, oh, we're between nurses at the moment. The nurse that was there had left and we're just waiting for another nurse. So I'd ring up then, I'd leave with a couple of weeks. Oh, yeah, that one didn't start. There's another one start. And I just never got a call back. And then I just literally gave up out of frustration. And actually, this being highlighted today is making me think maybe I should follow up on it again, because even though I'm not concerned, it is something that parents shouldn't lose out on, just to touch base. You know, it's as I said, especially for parents who don't have the experience or the knowledge of kids of what. And there's things that you would go to a public health nurse for that you wouldn't go to a GP for. Let's say maybe there's a parent who's worried if their child isn't speaking enough or is wondering if it's normal. Or, you know, when my firstborn was small, actually, I actually had concerns. Head a certain way. I went to the public health nurse and she was like, no, that's very common. When they're small, just do this and do that with it when he's sleeping. And even to be able to have had that on the phone was something. But the actual checks themselves have fallen through the cracks completely.
Text from a listener who says, I am a public health nurse. We are stretched beyond capacity. We have our own large caseloads, then having to cover other areas where there's no public health nurse. So the backfills aren't being replaced, whether it's maternity, retirement or sick leave. Less public health nurses, but there's an increase in population numbers and changing demographics. We work from cradle to grave. Our job duties are just endless. It's so top heavy admin expected from management. There's no admin support at all. And there's huge high related stress and burnout. Dr. Claire Crowe is a member of the Psychological Society of Ireland, but also a member of the Special Interest Group in Infant Mental Health. Have you noticed this, Claire? Parents struggling, I'm sure, because of this.
Yeah, I mean, just to reiterate what your callers are saying, it's such a crucial aspect of child development that we have these checks. And I know, and Andrea, you mentioned that, you know, that we're asking parents to self-screen at the moment. And those standardized screening measures are important, like they give us an indication, but there's something really valuable and hugely clinically relevant about someone, a person with expertise, calling to the house and using their clinical judgment to determine, you know, if there's a delay, if there's a concern, whether it's relevant, clinically relevant in the context of this child and this environment and what's happening. And that's what gets lost if we don't have that in-person visit. I'll give you an example.
Reassurance as well, Claire, too, I would have thought.
Absolutely. For parents. You know, babies develop in the context of a relationship. So everything that's happening with the parent is happening for the baby. So it's really important that both, you know, both people are kind of working together in a way that's containing. So like the things of like reassurance, telling people they're doing a good job, or normalizing behavior if it's normal, or else, you know, if they're flagging the concern, putting it in the context of, you know, OK, I can see your child is not talking now in the way I would expect them to be. This is what I'm going to do. Like making the plan together, because it's very alienating if you have a document yourself and you're trying to fill it in. And it's really hard to be objective as a parent. Like I would consider, like I suppose I specialize in pediatrics, I would have knowledge. But for my eldest child, I remember going to her 11-month check and she had a hearing issue. And that's not something I would have noticed, even though I had expertise. So you do need the outside person, that external expert, to be able to come in and say these are the things that are actually now of a clinical level that we're going to follow through in the healthcare system for you.
It seems here that routine checks for a lot of babies before their first birthday in the HSE area, which covers Clondalkin, Lucan, Ballyfermot, Inchicore, Rathcoole and West Dublin, they've actually now apparently been suspended, Claire, due to a shortage of public health nurses.
It's a huge loss. It's an impact for the baby and it's a huge impact for the parent as well. You know, like we can't capture these things on forums. At 11 months of age, our best predictor of a child's language later in life is not the words that they're using, but it's actually their non-verbal communication. It's the gestures that they're using. So we need this public health nurse to be there to actually see how are they pointing, how are they engaging, how are they interacting with the parents, and that can't be captured on paper. So we've got no data. We're denying them opportunities to, I suppose, have that early intervention if there is a cognitive and linguistic delay, if we don't have a visit.
Aideen Finnegan is podcast producer with the Irish Times. Aideen, you're a new mum as well. Have you experienced any of these public health nurse delays?
Yeah, I'm new-ish. I had my first baby during COVID or just before COVID. And obviously, there were huge delays then in appointments. So she didn't see anyone. Her 3-month check ended up being at 9 months or something like that. But, you know, obviously, those were very exceptional circumstances. But I feel like the delays took a long, long time to regularize. And my second daughter has had in-person public health nurse appointments. And I suppose the thing is that I noticed that in the article today by Alicia Regan that Stephen Donnelly was quoted as saying that if parents had any concerns to contact their local health officer or their GP directly. But what I think is really interesting about that is that you don't know what you don't know. Mm. You know, I brought my daughter, my second daughter, so I wasn't even a new mum anymore. I hadn't any concerns really because she seemed to be flying it. And the public health nurse undressed her took her nappy off for her to weigh her. And she said, her legs don't mirror each other. There's an extra wrinkle on this thigh. And sure, all I see are gorgeous little chubby thighs. I don't notice whether there's one wrinkle or, you know, and there isn't another one to match it on the other side. And that could have been an indicator of a hip problem. And she was referred to a pediatrician and everything's fine. There wasn't any cause for alarm. But I didn't know that that's something that I should have raised, you know. So I just think about all the people who have even less information to hand and what they might miss. And I notice as well that the areas like Clondalkin, Inchicore, Ballyfermot, those are areas with sort of a high percentage of people who are in lower socioeconomic groups who have even, you know, poorer access to healthcare than maybe the average population. And so it's actually even more important for communities like that to be able to see a public health nurse in person. And there's a huge amount of soft information that a PHN will get from an in-person visit as well. So you get a visit from the public health nurse shortly after you've given birth. Mm. I had a horrendous first week trying to breastfeed. I had had no sleep. I was really bad and I was so exhausted. And when the nurse arrived, my husband was minding my daughter downstairs and I was in bed asleep and I could barely sort of interact with her. And so she rang me I think that was on a Friday, and she rang me again on Monday to see how I was because she was worried about me. And I suppose she was going to maybe intervene if there was an issue of postpartum depression there. And like, that is just not the information you're going to pick up ticking a box over a phone.
And also, you know, you might have been, or somebody else, Aideen, might have been less likely to go to a GP about that. But because there was that face-to-face
exactly.
interaction. Lisa O'Sullivan-Shaw is with us as well. Because Lisa, you work in this area. Is this something that you've noticed?
Yeah, Andrea. I work in primary care in a GP setting. And the shortage is just across the board. Public health nurses, GPs, everybody is stretched out of their minds. Primary care centres are acting like clinics. And I know from having my own 4 boys that it's a bit mad and unacceptable in this day and age in a supposed first world country that there's no clinical reassurance for new parents or parents of new babies, because there's just certain things that you, like as all your previous guests have said, that like there's just certain things that you just won't pick up on, and you need that that clinical reassurance.
So the idea that, you know, it seems to be by all accounts a bit of a lottery, like it just depends, I suppose, where you are, whether or not you'll have access to a public health nurse, and maybe how long that wait might be. But is it something, Lisa, that making your own work day to day, obviously these appointments are, you can see it, they're being missed, or people are waiting long periods for them?
I don't personally work with the public health nurses appointments. So I work with more GPs. It's just like it's a never ending cycle of waiting to see GPs. And it's not anybody's fault. It's not the GP's fault. It's not public health nurses' fault. There is just not enough of them there. There is not enough of them in the country. I don't know what the solution to that is. Everything seems to be top-heavy management-wise, and it's not trickling down to actually the staff that's needed on the ground. But I see GP surgeries are, you know, they're under pressure, as, you know, public health nurses would be.
A text from a listener who says, I am a public health nurse. I'm listening to this, to the discussion. I'm working for 17 years in community and the lack of public health nurses is really evident over the last couple of years. A lot of this goes back to the training and placement issues. There's way too much emphasis on documentation and forms rather than just doing the vital core development checks. So the public health nurses are leaving in their droves. It's a very, very sad situation for the public health nurses that are now left on the ground. Katie Moogan, you mentioned you were previously a public health nurse. Is that right?
I was indeed, yeah.
Like, is it just that, just too much pressure, huge caseload for the nurses that are out there at the moment? I'm conscious of them today. They want to get round everybody.
Absolutely. Like, to be honest, that message that came in the first one, I think, from the public health nurse, I think said it in full. I think the workload in high demand is huge. We've got increased caseloads. PHNs aren't just responsible, and that's the thing, for postnatal care and developmental checks. They cover chronic disease management, care of the elderly. You have palliative care as well. Like, there's a whole host of other services that the PHNs are management over. So the caseloads are getting top heavy. They're hard to get through. Then you've got expanded roles. Over the years now, public health nurses are taking on more and more responsibilities, managing more complex cases in community. They're supporting more vulnerable populations. Like, there's a huge, I suppose the whole area is broadening, but yes, we still don't have increase in staffing and they're already stretched to the max at this moment in time. And that now is impacting the service to completely.
Yes.
And we're seeing parents like that being told they have to assess their own children. Like, it is laughable when you're kind of questioning, oh, will we buy a guitar? Yet we have a healthcare service that is not fit for purpose.
Michelle Daly-Hayes is a maternal mental health advocate. Michelle, are you dealing with, this was the impact of this now when you're talking to parents?
Yeah, when you're talking to parents, especially new moms, excuse me, I'm just picking up my shoes, it's good. When you're talking to new moms, it's really scary for them. And a lot of them, as Aideen actually pointed out, are from where they're not having health nurses. Is the areas where you have a lot of immigrant new mums who might have other barriers to them communicating with their GP, etc. Plus, the problem is you need a second level of security in some way when a mum is not feeling well, particularly with postpartum depression, etc. The GP may not pick that up, or the GP may not act on it. We're wonderful GPs, don't get me wrong, but they're just so stretched themselves. So you do need someone else checking on mum, checking on baby. Apologies for the noise. So that's kind of where we are at the moment. We're seeing it, and we worry that there's more postpartum depression out there that we're not getting to.
That's just not being picked up.
That can't get help. Yeah, exactly. They're falling through the cracks.
A spokesperson for the HSE on this said they're aware of the difficulties around recruitment and retention of public health nurses in the Dublin area, particularly around Dublin West, as we mentioned. Apparently, a number of temporary solutions have been taken to try and prioritise resources there. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com if you want to get in touch with us. My thanks, though, to Katie Mack, Dr. Claire Crow, Aideen Finnegan, Lisa O'Sullivan-Shaw, also Michelle Daly-Hayes there too, and Katie Moogan, who's a lactation consultant.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.